Wow, what an introduction.
You know, it's been my whole life that I've wanted people to see Jesus in me. And when you hear that, you love it. Because that's all we want to be, right? So contagious for him. And then especially hearing it from my husband, because sometimes I think he thinks I'm a little weird. In a good way. I can agree with that. Heavenly weird. Okay, there we go. All right. So yes, we have been talking about the kingdom, and I was trying to move on to honor, but God kept coming back to love, to love him. Because we seek first his kingdom, right? And his righteousness, and everything will be added. But if we don't know what the kingdom is, then it's hard to seek it, right? So when I was asking God, what is your kingdom? Give me something that is simple for me to understand. And he said, the kingdom is who I am and how I operate. So if the kingdom, or if God is love, then the kingdom is love. And one of the revelations I got from the last time I spoke, and I'm sorry because I'm probably going to say everything I said the last time too, so you're going to get a repeat. But no, not actually, but because I feel like God gave me a couple other things, but everything is birthed from love. If God is love, the kingdom is love. Everything is birthed from love, mercy, joy, peace. It all comes out of love, and it all comes out of your relationship with him. So Mark 12, 30 and 31. I love this one because it says, you know, other gospels say it a little different, but I love this one. And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind, and with all your strength. This is the first commandment. And the second, like it, is this: you shall love your neighbor as yourself. There is no other commandment greater than these. So to love, God was stopping me because I was reading it, and he stopped me, and he was just like, you shall love the Lord your God. And I was thinking, wow, the kingdom really isn't that complicated, is it? It's love God. Then you will love yourself. Then you will love others. But if we don't know God, or we don't love God, or we don't know how to love God, that's probably the biggest thing, then we won't love ourselves, right? And then you won't love others. You will only love others to the degree, and you've probably heard this so many times, to the degree that you can love yourself, but to the degree that you can love God. Because in his presence is where you will be defined, is where you will get your identity from. You want to know who you are? Hang out with him. That's where you get your identity. It took me forever to figure that out, and it's so simple, right? We always try to find our identity in the things that are around us. I'm a wife. I'm a mom. I'm a grandmother now. I find my identity in my work, and then, oh, work gets taken away, and all of a sudden I'm like, I don't know who I am. Or your children grow up and they're gone. And you're like, now what do I do with my life? But when you know your identity in him, you always have purpose. You always have destiny. You're fulfilled. Whether now I don't have to raise my children anymore. I feel like I'm raising my grandchildren, but that's okay. It's that's where, because I was like, oh man, I thought I was going to get to do all these things. But you know what? My lot in life right now is my grandkids. And it kind of changed because I was kind of thinking, oh, I don't want to watch my kids all the time or get grandkids all the time. But I was like, oh, I get this amazing opportunity to pour into my grandkids. Let's put on some music, kids, and we're going to dance and praise the Lord. You know, and my granddaughter comes to me and she says, Grandma, how about speaking in tongues? And I said, huh? I said, all right, let's speak in tongues. And she's like, you do it. And I said, how did you know about speaking in tongues? She said, your class. And I was like, oh, because I teach the kids normally on Sunday mornings. But I was like, this is my focus right now. And I'm going to get my identity from him to be able to touch them and bring them up and let them know love and let them know God and let them know who they are through him and creating relationship even when they're 4 and they're 2. And now Zeke, who is 8 or 9 months, whatever. But if we get the love God part right, everything else falls in line, huh? Everything else. I love the agape definition that I read. I want to read it again to you because I keep going over in my God, what is love? God, what is love? So listen, try not to tune out. If you have to close your eyes, that's fine too. Agape occurs when an individual sees, recognizes, understands, and appreciates the value of a person, causing him to behold this person in great esteem, awe, admiration, wonder, and sincere appreciation. Such great respect is awakened in the heart of the observer for the person he is beholding that he is compelled to love. In fact, his love for that person is so strong that it is irresistible. This kind of love knows no limits or boundaries in how far, wide, high, and deep it will go to show love to its recipient. If necessary, agape love will even sacrifice itself for the sake of that person it so deeply cherishes. Whew. Isn't that good? Yeah. I'm trying to keep that in my mind because do you guys find that or is it just me? That love, it's like, how do you define love? It's like when I read definitions of love, I'm like, oh, that just seems so. I don't know if you ever have looked up definitions of love, but I was even asking him, like, God, what is love? That tends to be me. God, what is love? And he kept going, me. And what he was telling me is that my relationship with him can only define love. When I have relationship with him, it will define love. And even after this morning, God is incredible. I hate the thought that love is not a feeling. I know it's not feelings. Love is not feelings. But so much, and I know love, I like the definition that Bruce gave in the Nelson's Bible Dictionary, love is of the will rather than emotions. Okay, but love involves emotions, right? Love without emotions could be, in relationship, complacency. And if you think about marriage, I wonder what my husband would be like if I showed no emotion to him. Or, you know, how would it be if your spouse, or like your friend, they never showed any emotion towards you. Wouldn't that be hard? I think that would be a hard relationship. Sometimes we can substitute activity instead of an amazing relationship with God. So we just get into the role of coming to church, of being, of doing my ministry, instead of there being that enthralling relationship with him in everything you do, in teaching the kids, in working in the nursery, in cleaning. Is your relationship with him? I clean. Me and Beth clean, but I clean, and I get to worship him for like 3 hours straight. Kathy knows. She cleans too. But I love it, putting my, and if you're here, I'm sorry, you'll have to hear me sing or whatever. I don't know if Dennis heard me the other night, but I had the vacuum on too loud. But I love to sing, and I'll worship, and I'll speak and pray in tongue, and it's just a heavenly thing. But I like what Corrie Ten Boom is. Do you know who Corrie Ten Boom is? She helped Jews be safe. She said, beware of the barrenness of a busy life. Beware of the barrenness of a busy life. We can get so busy even doing good things for God that we can forget our relationship with him, right? We can forget that he's a loving God. Or fear of loving again can be one of the things that your emotions might be so out in the open. And I know not everybody's like, I always was stand and clap and, you know, doing my thing. But man, as I have loved God, I have to move. As I know and feel him, I have to move. I have to feel. In Holy Spirit, if you ever hang out with him, he's a mover. He's the emotion. To me, he's the emotion of the Godhead. I feel when I'm like, I love you, Holy Spirit. I can just feel him. So, but don't let the, I don't know, I grew up, I always heard, you know, oh, they're just too emotional. Oh, that's just too emotional. That's just flesh. That's emotional. And I now I can see why they looked at David, King David, and said, or Michael looked at it and said, it's too undignified. He's, what is he doing? But David had a heart of love for the Lord. And he could dance and worship and be undignified for the Lord. So don't ask the Lord about your emotions. You know, and sometimes I'm even here and I'll be like, you know, oh, something, you know, circumstances in women's life will bring you to really points where you can cry a lot or whatever it is. But I'm always like, God, help my emotions to be from you because I want this to. And he does. It's amazing how he can make your emotions be true and for him, right? I like what 1 Corinthians 16:14 says. Getting back to love. Let all that you do be done with love. That really sums it up too, right? Let all that you do, everything is birthed from love. This was a good revelation for me with this one. It is natural that every aspect of you should hunger for God. Have you ever thought of that? I've always been like, God, make me hungry. God, I want to be hungry. God, make me hungry. And I don't think that cry is bad. I think that's a good cry. But we were created and designed to hunger for him. You are hungry for him, whether you realize it or not. So now you can say, I'm hungry for him, whether you feel it or not. I'm hungry. I'm so hungry to hear his voice, to be with him, right? This is, okay, it's not necessarily a supernatural thing, but is what we were created for. Even your body was meant to host the presence of God. Your body. And then do you know when you feel him in your body, you can shake? You can feel like electricity going through you. You can feel in your body his presence. I remember some kids at camp one year, they were so like, what is happening to me? What am I feeling? And I was like, oh, that's the Holy Spirit. He's touching you. Let him touch you. I think of Adam and Eve. They were walking in the garden naked. Until they sinned, did they know that they were so clothed with the presence of God? Your body is to host the presence of God. Your emotions, your mind, how you think, you yearn for that connection. I love what Psalm says, Psalms 84, 2. It says, my soul longs, yes, even faints for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh cry out for the living God. Whew, that's some emotion. My soul longs for you. If you don't entirely love God, you will fill the void with something else. You'll always be searching for that love that brings, that tries to bring that wholeness, that security, that acceptance that you've always been wanting. But this only comes through loving the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength. That to me is every part of who you are. Every part of who you are, how you think, your emotions, your will. I've been working on my will lately. Just asking God, my will to your will. Help me with that one. But it comes through relationship with God. God wants relationship that is full of passion and emotion for you. He is an emotion God, a passionate God. Listen to Song of Songs 8, 5 through 7. Who is this one? This is the bridegroom king speaking. She arises out of her desert, clinging to her beloved. When I awakened you under the apple tree as you were feasting upon me. I love it. Feasting. I looked up the word feasting. It's something giving great pleasure or satisfaction. You were feasting upon me. I awakened your innermost being with the travail of birth as you longed for more of me. Fasten me upon your heart as a seal of fire forevermore. This living, consuming flame will seal you as my prisoner of love. My passion is stronger than the chains of death and the grave, all-consuming as the very flashes of fire from the burning heart of God. Place this fierce, unrelenting fire over your entire being. Who does the Holy Spirit baptize you? I mean, who does the Father baptize you in? With fire? The Holy Spirit, right? Rivers of pain and persecution will never extinguish this flame. Endless floods will be unable to quench this raging fire that burns within you. Everything will be consumed. It will stop at nothing as you yield everything to this furious fire until it won't even seem to you like a sacrifice anymore. You become so in love that you just have to love him. You just have to. It's not a sacrifice anymore. And this love, he's unrelenting. He woos you. He woos you. He romances you. He created us for worship. And there will be an in-love revolution. I loved it when I spoke the last time. I talked about being in love, there being a revolution of being in love. My sister says, oh, I love that so much. Well, the next Sunday she comes over to me and she's like, Lori, she said, She said that God spoke to her that she hadn't even begun to fall in love with him because she hadn't even scratched the surface of his love. She said, and she was like, that's what I feel like. I feel like I haven't even scratched. And I was just like, I agree with you. And we've been just talking about being in love. Do you know who you're in love with? Do you know the God? Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Do you know who you are in love with? I read this book a long, 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 long time ago, and I loved how she described God. So I'm going to read these to you. God is, this is who you are in love with, supreme in authority, timeless in existence, ingenious in creativity, limitless in power, terrible in wrath, majestic in splendor, awesome in holiness, infinite in wisdom and knowledge, unsearchable in understanding, beyond beautiful, unfathomable in love, incomprehensible in humility. Ooh. Perfect in justice, unending in mercy, matchless in grace, unexplainable peace, inexpressible joy, full of glory, sweet Savior, eternal Word, abundant life, and unstoppable truth. Now, I've added to that list, but I've loved that because I love the grandeur of God. I love how big he is. I love how he's just, you know, just, you might make it. No, he's the victor. He's made you more than a conqueror. And I'll sometimes take out that, or I'll read the names of God. Yeah. Because that's who he is. Yeah. Right? Just to know, oh, this is who I'm in love with. This is who I serve. And it'll broaden when you're worshiping or just spending time with him. So I have some questions I want to ask you. These are questions that have been rolling around in my mind since I've been talking to God about relationship. And I've asked a few people, and some of you I might have asked, but I've asked a few people, how would you define your relationship with God? And let me add to that. How do you interact with God? How do you interact with Jesus? How do you interact with Holy Spirit? And how do you interact with the Father? Who do you most talk to? I think Jesus is probably the most, and it's, I think Jesus probably too for me, but it was interesting when I started developing my relationship with Holy Spirit, just the difference. And then I was like, oh, and so just developing relationship with each one of them can change your relationship with him. How do you love him with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength? How do you feel about intimacy with him? Or how do you feel about him romancing you? Interesting relationship questions, huh? I don't know if some of the people that I talked to, they hadn't even thought of that before. One person, she says, well, I go to church and I read my Bible in the morning. And, you know, and I was like, oh, okay. Because I would define it differently. But if you've never thought about it before, right? But it might help to think about it because it might help you to develop that relationship with him. And how you think can really affect your relationship with him. And out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks, right? So when I talk to people, I can sometimes tell where they might be at in their relationship with God. Because sometimes they'll say, well, I don't hear, or I don't feel, or I don't see. They'll say things like that, and I'll be like, oh, okay. Because I believe that if you hang out with him, if you ask him, he will show you. He will. When I first started this, boy, it was, you know, few and far between of hearing and seeing, and sometimes, but I think it was more on my end of just recognizing, you know, but the more, right, the more that I hang with him, the more, you know, even now, you guys, oh my goodness, I don't feel like, oh yeah, that's what God said, or I'll tell you exactly what God's saying right now. No, I'm like, oh God, I want to hear your voice. Please let me hear your voice. I just want to hear you. And sometimes that comes in a picture. Sometimes that comes in a dream. Sometimes that comes through you. But it doesn't matter, right? But be careful what you're saying, because it might be aligning with the enemy and you not being able to experience that part of the relationship with God. Because we all have spiritual eyes. We all have spiritual ears. We all can touch in the spirit. We all can smell in the spirit. And we all can feel in the spirit. Even if you say that for yourself, I remember there was a gentleman that came and spoke here. He's out of Bethel. He said, I didn't feel a thing. But he said, you know what? I quit saying that. And then he said, if there's even an ounce of his presence in here, I'm going to feel it. And I was like, that, I like that perspective. So one of the things for me in developing your relationship, your love relationship with him, and the kingdom key is listening. Is listening to him. I don't think I started really developing my relationship with him until I learned to listen. And I'm telling you, I so want to listen to him more and more and more and more. Because when you start practicing listening, then you start to recognize and hearing him speak more. One more thing is, how well do you know his voice? The Bible says, my sheep hear my voice, and they will not follow another. I'm here to tell you, you hunger and you hear his voice. That's what you declare, and you will not follow another. Okay? Our journey is just to keep hearing him. Right? Just to keep hearing him. His desire to speak to us is greater than our desire to listen. He is like speaking all the time. He wants us to lay our head on his chest. I believe there's even levels of relationship, right? Because there were some disciples that you don't really hear much about. Then there's the three, right? But even in the three, the two say, hey, John, you ask him. You ask him who's going to betray us, right? So there is, you know, don't stop. If you haven't heard anything, don't stop. Keep going, because you're going to hear something, and then you can share it, and then you're going to keep hearing, and then next they're going to say, Sandy, will you lean on his chest and hear for me what he's saying? Right? I liked Mary and Martha, right? There's Mary and Martha. And I looked up their names because I was like, I want to see if there's some great, they both mean the same thing. And I felt like the Father spoke to me. They're the same because they're you. There's part of you that wants to just sit. But then you fight that, I got to get up and do. I got to get up and do. But what does Jesus say? Mary has chosen the better thing, is to sit and sit at his feet. And I think I said this last time. I would stay at his feet until you start seeing him respond. So you start seeing your relationship grow with him. And you'll know, because you'll start being like, I got a word. You'll come into service and you'll be like, God is showing me this. I got to show it, or I got to tell it. I got to tell everybody what I'm seeing, what I'm feeling, what I'm hearing. And then you'll come up to the mic or whoever's standing here and you'll tell them, and they'll be like, you'll start, and you'll be, oh, I got a word for Eleanor. I got to give Eleanor a word. You'll start, because when he starts speaking to you, it's going to start coming out to others. So I believe that all mighty people of God are mighty because they knew his voice. Think about any of them. Moses, he could hear him, and he did some amazing things. And it's interesting, because Moses, he wanted everybody to come up the mountain, didn't he? God did, to speak to him, to hear him. But they were like, nope, go, Moses. I think we're coming out of the age of, you know, I'm gonna have Terry pray over me so he can tell me what God is saying. That was one thing about the prophetic movement that I was, ooh, this, you know, if you always have to go to somebody else to get a word from God, ouch. Hear him. I loved it when, I never really sought that, but when I would go to somebody and have them pray, they would confirm exactly what God was saying to me. That's amazing. But if you're always running to find, I just want to tell you, you can hear from God. God will speak to you. So don't be content hearing others speak what God is saying. Okay? Don't leave it up to the pastor to have to tell you what to do and where to go, or the prophetic people, you know, that are over everything. I listen to them, but I always say, God, what are you saying? Show me. You know, or he'll show me, and then I want to listen. Romans 10:17 says, so then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Faith comes by hearing. When you hear what he says to you, it so builds your faith. That's why, like, when my mom got breast cancer, I said, God, I need to hear from you. I need something. You've got to give me something. Because then when he speaks to you, like he did, I was in Walmart. He said, go to the notebooks, went to the notebooks, looked at the end. I was like, what? And I looked, and here's my red notebook that says, I got this, dash God. And I showed you the notebook. Well, then what happens is hope arises. Right? Faith comes from hearing, and hearing the rhema, the spoken word of God. And it might be a word in the word, but what is he saying in that circumstance? And if he doesn't speak in that circumstance, then you go to the word and you stand upon the word and you stand firm. Right? Okay. Hearing, though, always implies listening and doing. Okay? Hebrews 11:6. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. So without faith, you can't please him. Without trusting that he's going to speak into your situation or be in that situation, it's not pleasing to him. And I love it. He says, because you have to come to him, or whoever comes to him must believe that he is. That he is what? Whatever you need in this situation. And then he rewards you for diligently seeking him. Keep seeking him. Keep hearing him. God chooses to speak to us in many different ways. There's visions, dreams, worship, words, thoughts, the still small voice, a person, a nudge. Yet still, don't just stop with those things. Hunger to hear him in different ways. You can be watching a movie. He'll speak through a movie name. It might be, in a book. It might be, children. Your children will say something. It might be in a sign on a road. Sorry. Or it might be in your circumstance. Continue to ask him to make you aware of when he's speaking to you and to expand the ways that he speaks to you. Proverbs 8:32 says, "Now therefore listen to me, my children, for blessed are those who keep my ways." It's funny because I put in listen into the Bible, and there's a lot of verses. And a lot of them are like this: listen to me, listen to me, listen to me, listen to me. And I was like, wow, he was really trying to tell us we need to listen to him. We need to know his voice. And he will mold us into doing what the Father is doing and saying. That's what he'll mold us into. We will only do what the Father is doing. We'll only do or say what the Father is saying. He wants us to hear what the Spirit is saying to the church and even beyond. He wants us to step into this unhindered place, this deep, passionate place with him. The secret place. Have you heard of the secret place? I'm always like, God, where is the secret place? What do you mean by, do you know what the secret place is to me? It's relationship with him. You're just hidden in him. When we rely on him only and know his amazing love, allowing his voice to change us, allowing his voice, his plans to change the world. Jeremiah 33:3 says, "Call to me and I will answer you and show you great and mighty things which you do not know." There's many scriptures in the Bible like that, just so you know. So I just wanted to walk you through quickly a few things that as I've kind of journeyed, and I'm not saying that I have mastered hearing. I sure haven't, but it's a journey. I want to know him. I want to hear him. I want to see him. I want everything for him. But maybe, hopefully, this can help you develop listening with the one that you love. Number one, tell him you want to hear him speak. Surrender who you are. You know, I surrender my ears to hear you. I surrender my eyes to see you, because he'll speak tons in a picture form. Okay, I surrender my mind to think of the thoughts that you have for me. You surrender your will. You surrender your emotions. Number two, maintain dialogue with him all day long. Constantly talk to him as if he, you know, if you were with someone, put him there. I liked how Elena, she was in my Sunday school class, or my kids church class a couple weeks ago, and she's like, "Let's save that chair for Jesus." And I was like, "Oh, that's amazing." But talk to him all day long. Practice his presence. Practice his presence. And what I would suggest is to spend like 10 minutes every day just listening, just coming and saying, "God, I just want to be with you. What's on your heart?" Just see what he says to you. I'm working on now like bringing him something and being able to sit and just dialogue with it. It's going okay. I'm working on this one. Because I do hear, but I feel like it's parts and pieces here and there, and then maybe that's how it'll always be. But I would so love to sit down with him and just be able to hear him talk to me. And I ask a question and he answers me back. Right? Does that happen for anybody? Ooh, nice, nice. Love it. Okay. When you wake up in the morning, okay, so I'm still on maintain a dialogue with him. Wake up and say good morning to him. Tell him, I'm like, oh, I love you, God. And it's typically because my husband will come kiss me goodbye for the day. And then I'm like, and then I just pray a blessing over him as he goes. You know, but then I like start hanging out with God all the time. When you go to bed, I've told you this before. I'll pretend that when I lay my head on my pillow, that I'm laying my head on his lap. You're just like, day, God. You know, just talking to him. Listen for responses. Because, you know, another thing is you'll want to hear him in the noise. When you're in a crazy situation, or when something comes up, you're going to want to hear him in that noise. Or when you get flustered, you get a call, come get your daughter. Or should we send an ambulance to get your daughter at work? And I'm just like, huh? Well, this happened. And I'm like, okay. So I get in the car and I'm like, all right, God, can't wait to see what you're going to do. And all of a sudden I sat back and I thought, wow, well, that was a good response. God is changing me. He's changing me. Okay, 3, worship or soaking music. When you're here, I can see so many things. I loved what he saw this morning. Because it was funny, because I kind of saw the same thing. I just saw like a sea of people, but it was from past to future. It was like everybody that we were worshiping with. And I was like, how majestic. Worship, tongues. When you're praying in tongues, singing in tongues. 1 Corinthians 14:14-15 says, for if I pray in a tongue, my spirit prays, but my understanding is unfruitful. What is the conclusion then? I will pray with the spirit and I will also pray with the understanding. I will sing with the spirit and I will sing with the understanding. So be listening. Sometimes this is my biggest key. Is when I need to hear him, I will start praying in tongues. For some reason, for me, it separates me from my flesh. It separates me from thinking about other things for some reason. And I can just like directly connect with him and I just listen for what he has to say. 5, read the word. Allow him to highlight things. You can just read the word and you can keep going on, but he'll show you things that you'll know are highlighted to you. 6, always be asking questions. What is on your heart? I think of little kids. My grandkids do it to me all the time. Ask me questions. He says you cannot enter the kingdom without being like a little child, right? Ask questions. Ask him questions. What's on your heart? What are you doing? I like to do it in services. I'm trying to see in the spirit. I want to see what's happening in the spirit realm in our services. And I'll come in and I'll be like, God, what are you doing? Show me what you're doing. It's so much fun. Or what does that mean? Now I know, like when I see an angel or something, I know to engage. He's teaching me to engage with what you're seeing. Engage with angels. Ask them, who are you? Why are you here? What's your name? Because a lot of those things can reveal what he wants to do. 7, expect him to be continually listening. Psalms 38:15 says, don't have that one, okay. I will wait for you, O Lord. You will answer, O Lord my God. expect him to speak. 8, be thankful for what you hear. Be thankful. He gives you a thankful heart. Be thankful for his presence. He loves it when you're thankful for hearing him. And isn't that, well, he loves being heard. And he loves being listened to. And that's my last one, 9, listen to people. Or listen to him. If you want to love people well, listen to them. Accept. This is probably big too. God will use someone you don't like to speak to you. Then you guys are laughing, so you know it's true. That's why I'm saying listen to people. Anytime that you have a resistance to someone, say, oh, pay attention all the more. Sometimes even I'll get, oh, I don't want to go to church. I'll be like, oh, no, I got to go. Something's going to happen today because I'm feeling that way. Because he's trying to get me not to come. So always watch that resistance. In conclusion, God, the ultimate love and lover, wants to and longs to be in relationship with you. And in the kingdom, when you find this treasure, you will give up everything you have and are because you know him. It's not a hard thing. Because you're just like, oh, that? Okay, fine. You know, when Jesus said to the rich young ruler, sell all you have and come follow me, he walked away sad because he couldn't sell all he had. Why? Because he didn't know him. He didn't know that he'd probably get way more than he would selling all that he had. But he didn't know him. So he walked away, oh, okay, I guess not. But when you know him and love him, you will give it all up. That's who you are. So I have a little exercise that I would like you to try with me. Do you have the song? Okay. Oh, good, Trev. I would like to play this song. And I would like you to come and take communion on your own and just hang out with the Holy Spirit, with Jesus, with the Father, just for this song. If you have to go, that's fine. But then I would love if we could even, I don't think there's too many of us, but if God speaks to you about communion, about being in love with him, about your relation, I would like to talk to you afterwards. But I would like us just to take, it'll probably be what? How long is a song? 4 minutes? 3 minutes? So just let's experience this together and then maybe see what God is saying to us.